So getting back to these important, essential leadership lessons so that we don't sink, we learn how to swim, you know, and do well in ministry. Number eight is focus, the importance of focus. What do I mean by that? Major on the majors. Major on the majors. Moses wasn't doing this. He was majoring on everything, and he was sinking in ministry. So what do I mean by focus? Serve in the area of your greatest giftedness. Serve in the area of your greatest giftedness. Exodus 18. Jethro says, you should judge the people at all times, then they can bring you every major case, but judge every minor case themselves. So what we have to do right there is distinguish. We have to distinguish what I do best and delegate the rest. That's what we have to distinguish. Distinguish what you do best and delegate the rest. You know what that means? Sometimes we need to delegate things we really like to do. Doesn't matter if you like to do it. Sometimes you need to let other people do what you really like to do. I want to do this. No, you don't have to do that, and you shouldn't be doing it. Let someone else do it. We need to learn to say no. Everybody say that right now. No. Louder. No. You can do it again. Ready?
No.
You need to learn how to say no. You have to tell people in your church. You have to tell people in your ministry. You have to tell them nicely. And just you just said, because some of you are such people pleasers. You don't want to tell people no ever. You just want to help everybody and bless your heart. But you can't do everything. So it's okay to tell people no under the right circumstances. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound judgment. And I think sound judgment at times means no, or self-control, no. All right? And the fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians 5, is self-control, the ability to say no. So stay focused also means, like we've seen, keeping your hands out of everything, okay? And Moses needed to learn how to do this, focus on what he was doing best. So focus also means focus and simplify. Focus and simplify, all right? They can bring you every major case, all right? That's verse 22. Simplify, Moses. Just the major cases, Moses. Not every case, Moses. Simplify. Focus and simplify. A former professor I had at Dallas Seminary, Howard Hendricks, the secret of concentration is elimination. The secret of concentration is elimination. What do I need to eliminate so I can focus and simplify? Andy Stanley, a pastor in America, says it this way. The less you do, the more you accomplish. The less you do, the more you enable others to accomplish. That's so good. Do less, accomplish more, all right? And others will accomplish more. So you got to live by this. Only do what you can do. Only do what you can do. Let others do what you don't need to do. Let others do it. Major on the majors. Delegate the minors, okay? Here's the next one. Extend. What do I mean by that? Extend. Longevity and harmony in your ministry. Extend your ministry. So there's longevity and there's harmony. Because sinking and drowning in ministry, is that fun? That's no fun, okay? Swimming should be enjoyable. Ministry should be enjoyable. I know there's always difficulties in ministry at times. We get that. But think long-term benefits and blessings to the church and ministry. Long-term blessings and benefits for you and others. And Exodus 18. In this way, you'll lighten your load and they will bear it with you. If you do this and God directs you, you will be able to endure. And also, all these people will be able to go home satisfied. That's what happens when we share the burden. Share the burden, okay? You lighten your load and they bear it with you. Have you ever tried to move furniture in your house by yourself? Oh man, that's so hard. That's so hard, moving dressers and moving washing machines or moving beds and, you know, it's so, what's that?
Piano,
there you go, or a piano. It's so hard. We need to move a wall unit not too long ago. I can't move that. I had to have four guys help me move this thing. You know, I'm not a big, strong guy, obviously. But boy, it's so much easier when you have others help you move furniture, listen, moving ministry forward is so much easier when you have a team of people with you. It's so much easier. So recruit people again. It's hard by yourself. You know, if you try moving something by yourself in your house, you're going to injure yourself. You're going to throw your back out, so to speak. Well, there's a lot of pastors, a lot of ministry leaders throwing their spiritual backs out because they keep trying to do it by themselves. So recruit people. Share the burden and lengthen your leadership. Look at verse 23. If you do this thing and God so commands you, all right, as God so directs, God so commands, then he says this, you will be able to endure. So stop moving furniture in your church. Stop moving furniture in your ministry by yourself. You're going to frustrate yourself. You're going to frustrate others. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to wear yourself out. Remember, go back to Ecclesiastes 9 again. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their efforts. If either of them falls, companion can lift them up. Pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Again, strands, more strength right there. So share the burden, longevity for you. Keep the peace. Did you notice what he says here? You're going to keep the peace. Look at verse 23. Also, all these people will be able to go to their home satisfied. You know what it's like to be a satisfied customer or to have a satisfied customer? Poor leadership frustrates people. Poor leadership frustrates people, and you won't have satisfied customers. I hate to use that term that way, but it's true. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. You ever gone to a restaurant and there's not enough waiters or waitresses, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting for your food, and your food's been sitting around, and by the time you get it, it's cold, and nobody's coming around to your table to refill your drinks or bring bread or anything like that? It's very frustrated. It's frustrating. Are you going to go back to that restaurant? Answer. No, you're not going to go back to that restaurant. Are you going to give it a good review? No. Are you going to recommend it to people? No. Same thing's happening in our churches. Same thing happens in our ministries. People are not being cared for. We're not enabling a team to serve with us. We have pastors and ministry leaders who are in the back cooking and then bringing out the food and then trying this and doing this, and their hands are on everything. Man, you're not doing your ministry any favor or the Lord's work any favor. So again, the importance of involving more people, more will be accomplished on behalf of more people. And it'll bring harmony. Again, Moses and his family, it'll be harmony in his marriage, harmony with his children, harmony with his co-workers, harmony with the people, all over the place, good leadership. Rise and not sink, essential lessons. Here's the last one. Just do it. Just do it. Stop talking about it. Stop saying, oh yeah, that would be nice. No, do it. Look at verse 8, look at verse 24, Exodus 18. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did what? Everything he said. Moses chose able men from all Israel, made them leaders over the people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They judged the people at all times. They would bring the hard cases to Moses, but they would judge every minor case themselves. Moses let his father-in-law go, and he journeyed to his own land. Man, talk about being worth it. It is going to be worth it to take the time to do this. It's going to be worth it to spend the energy. You are going to be so grateful to implement these lessons from Moses' life, to put systems in place, structure in place in your own life and ministry, organization in place. I have five kids. Most of them are out of the house now. When they were all at the house and they were all teenagers or college age and they were driving and they had different vehicles, the neighborhood where I live, you can't put any vehicles on the street. All the vehicles have to be overnight in the driveway. So we got four or five vehicles packed into this driveway. So my wife and I get up early in the morning, you know, to run errands and to go somewhere. So we get up and our cars are up front and all these cars are behind our cars. Wow, what am I doing? I'm running all over the house looking for keys, waking kids up. Hey, where's your keys? Where's your keys? Where's your keys? It's crazy. What did we do? We put a system in place. It's called a key rack with little hooks on the wall. When you come in at night, everybody's key goes on a hook. So I don't have to go crazy looking for keys the next morning. Have organization in your church. Have key racks in your ministry. Have everything in place, every person in place, doing what they need to do. If there's more order, there's less chaos. Organization brings order, is what happens. Let me ask you this. Was it worth the time and energy or cost of hanging up a key rack? Absolutely, 1,000 times over. No doubt about it. It will be so worth it in your life and in your ministry to have structure in place and organization in place. So make the changes. And that's what Moses did. He made the changes. He listened to his father-in-law. He did it all. Do you know what this shows? Humble leadership. It shows really good, godly leadership. He was willing to listen. He was willing to try. He was willing to change. And that's where you and I need to be. Moses didn't say, again, I led 2 million people out of Egypt. I don't need to listen to you. I'm experienced in leadership. I don't need your advice. He never said any of these things. I meet with God and my face glows when I meet with him. He didn't say any of this stuff. He listened to good godly advice. So you and I need to do the same and be learners for the rest of our lives. Chose able men, delegated the responsibility, divided and conquered. Leaders did their job. Moses did his job. What a great visit with his father-in-law, huh? What a great visit. Last verse, verse 27. Moses let his father-in-law go and he journeyed to his own land. Thanks, Dad. Great trip. Thanks for everything you shared with me. Thanks for taking the chance of offending me. Thanks for giving me good godly advice. Thank you for the visit. I mean, think about it. No more drowning, no more sinking. Moses is swimming. He's going to swim now for the rest of his life because of this. All right, so what have we learned today? 10 absolutely essential lessons to rise to the next level of ministry leadership. Help for those overwhelmed. Listen to outside objective opinions. Everything shouldn't revolve around you. There's always room for improvement. Stop trying to do it all alone. Educate yourself and others. Delegate, divide and conquer. Empower, let leaders lead. Focus, major on the majors. Extend, longevity and harmony. And what's the last one? Do it, just do it. Let's make the changes.